Daniel chapter 3, we're going to start by reading verses 1 through 6. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing now upon the preaching and teaching of your word. We pray that you will speak to our hearts and help us to understand the important principles that we will find in this passage of scripture. Help us to take and apply them to our lives that we might be more what you would have us to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many times have we been asked if we knew somebody, and we answered, "Oh yeah, I know him," when in reality, we know that person by name only. We can't tell you their address, or what kind of car they drive, or how many children they have, or anything about their education. As a matter of fact, there's very little we can tell you about that person, yet we say, "We know him. We know him." And the same thing is true if you ask some people if they know God. They will immediately respond by saying, "Yes, I know him." But what they should say is that they know him by name only. I mean, how can they know him if they don't attend a church with any regularity where the word of God is preached, and they don't attend any kind of Bible study, they don't read their Bible daily, they don't spend time in prayer daily? How can they know him? You see, when people live without these things in their lives, it is impossible to really know God. I mean, how can they truthfully say, "I know him"? Well, the answer is they can't truthfully say that. They know him in name only, but they do not have a relationship with him. Years ago, in the world of music, there was a secular song that could be turned into a Christian song with a little changing. The words go like this: "To know him is to love him." And that's the way it is in our relationship with God. And the greatest tragedy for many is that they live their whole lives and never have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's a strange question. Have you ever noticed how much life is like riding an elevator? Now, let me explain that to you. Elevators are unusual places, especially crowded ones. You're packed like sardines, close to people you've never met, and you really try not to touch them. And nobody talks either. You can't look around. In fact, you don't look anywhere except up at the numbers that light up. And have you ever noticed two people walking into an elevator talking together, and once they enter the elevator, they stop talking? strange things go on in elevators. Just ask the girlfriend of Ray Rice. She'll tell you strange things. If you're a sports person, you'll know what I mean. Well, I remember one time, this was years ago, I was stuck in a crowded elevator in Boston, and it was packed. And the door slid open, and there were a couple of guys standing there wanting to get on that elevator. That elevator was full of people who gave those guys a look that said, "Hey, you guys, can't you tell this elevator's full? Certainly, you don't intend to get on this elevator as full as it is." But they did. And the door slid shut behind them, and there wasn't even enough room for them to turn around and face the door. And so the two of them were all crowded. They were facing the crowd. It was tense. It was tense. Until one of those guys put a great big smile on his face, and he said very loudly to all of those people, "You might have wondered why we called this meeting today." And with that, the whole group just broke out in laughter, and people actually began talking and acting like they knew each other. Well, the elevator story kind of makes us think of some churches. You know, many of the people sit in their pews and never say a word to anyone. Why? They see people there every Sunday, but they don't have a relationship with anyone, so they just sit there alone. And even worse than that, there are people who go through the whole church service, the song service and the preaching of God's word, and they just look straight ahead, and they really don't get anything out of the service, again, because they do not have a relationship with God. In many aspects, that elevator is a microcosm of our world today. It shows us that people can be surrounded by other people in a crowded setting and not experience a personal relationship with any of them. You see, there is a difference between knowing someone by name and having a relationship with him or her. Now, in this sermon, I want to talk to you about three Hebrew boys who did not just know of God, they knew God personally. Their names are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, those, of course, were their Babylonian names. Those were the names that were given to them by King Nebuchadnezzar when they were taken captive into Babylon. Their Hebrew names are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those are their Hebrew names. And many of us got to know about these three young men from attending Sunday school at an early age in our life. To us children, it was entertaining to learn about their courage. But there's more to learn about these young men than their courage. For example, we learn from them, first of all, that it is good to be different. It is good to be different. Daniel 3 shows how Nebuchadnezzar built a large statue of himself and decided that everyone was to bow down before it. And everyone did at the appointed time, except for these three Hebrew young men. Now, as you look at the lives of many today, it seems almost like they've all been cut out of the same template. But it's refreshing to come into contact with someone who is different from the common folks we meet each day. Difference good. You know, many years ago, the cars we bought were black, white, or gray. But later, they started painting them all kinds of colors, and it was refreshing to see all the different colors. To this day, when I walk through a car dealership, I'm fascinated by all the different colors of cars. Years ago, When you went to the ice cream parlor, they only had vanilla, strawberry, and chocolate. Later, they came up with hundreds of different flavors and how refreshing it was to have these different flavors to choose from. Years ago, if you wanted a soda, you had only a few to choose from. Coke, Pepsi, RC, maybe orange and grape. But today, there are lots of different flavors of soda. And you might remember that years ago, there were only three networks that were broadcasting on TV, and that was it. CBS, NBC, ABC. That was it. But later they came up with hundreds of different channels to select from. Years ago, selections were very limited. Everything seemed to be cut from the same mold, but now it's different. And it's wonderful and refreshing to find folks that are different. Like the young girls who were picking on a young Christian girl who was determined that she was going to maintain her purity. Well, one day she finally got tired of being picked on by all these girls who had lost their purity. And she looked at that group of girls and she said this. She said, any day I choose, I can become like you. But not one of you can ever be like me. Not one of you can ever be like me. It's refreshing to find folks that are different. Nebuchadnezzar decreed that all men bow to this statue. And with that decree, those who didn't were to be sentenced to death by fire in a furnace. And with that decree, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced a serious dilemma. They knew their God forbid them to bow to that idol. And there were temptations they had to overcome. For instance, I'm sure they were tempted to protect their positions. If you go back and look at verse 49 of chapter 2, the very last verse of the previous chapter, notice it says, "Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king." And so the Bible tells us these three young men were set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. So there was the temptation to protect their personal interests. They were men of position. And I'm sure they were tempted to compromise like the other Jews did. But they were different. They were different. And then I'm also sure they were tempted to avoid persecution. In verse 6 of chapter 3, it says, "And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Anyone who refused to bow was to be burned. And no one relishes the thought of that happening to them. But remember, they were different. They were different. They choose to burn rather than bow. And I can guarantee you, there aren't many believers this day that are willing to be different and suffer for the sake of obeying God. All across this nation, we have churches that no longer sing about the old rugged cross and the blood of Jesus. They no longer preach out of the Bible. They no longer preach that Christians are not to live like the lost world lives. They have these, I call them spiritual go-go dancers. They call worship leaders in little short skirts leading the congregation in music that is based on rhythm and not on words about our Savior. And they are turning churches into bingo parlors and dance halls. And the members of those churches like it that way. They want their church to be like the world. Nothing more than centers of entertainment. May God help us to take a stand and be different. May God help us to take a stand. Now, I know it's not easy to take a stand in these days. That's why people follow the fads in clothing. That's why everyone wants to speak in a way that is politically correct. That's why millions get hooked on certain television shows. We all want to know the same thing and look the same. Nobody wants to be different. Well, hardly anybody. But that's just what the Lord has called us to be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." God wants his people to look different, talk different, dress different, think different, walk different, and to do different than the lost world around us. He wants us to be separated. And so while everyone else in Babylon was bowing before Nebuchadnezzar's idols, these three men were standing straight as arrows. Straight as arrows. Standing out like a sore thumb. You know, in our Bible, animals are lots of times used as illustrations. And I came across one recently that just fits right in here. Have you ever heard of an animal called an ermine? E-R-M-I-N-E, ermine? Ermine are animals that are covered with beautiful snow-white fur, and they're prized for their coats. And when hunters go after the ermine, what they do is ahead of time they will find the ermine's den and then put filth and mud and all kinds of nasty stuff around the opening. And when the hunters turn their dogs on the ermine, of course, automatically run for their dens. But when they find that dirt and that filth around the opening, they won't go in. They refuse to enter. And as a consequence, they're more easily caught. They refuse to get dirty. And you know what? God's people need that same level of commitment in our walk with God. A refusal to get dirty. A refusal to compromise with the world and its sinful and fleshly practices. We need to be different. Different. But being different is not the only thing we learn from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. From these three men, we also learn the need to be determined. Determined. Daniel 3 tells the story about how at the set time, everyone bowed except these three young men. And word was sent to King Nebuchadnezzar that they would not bow. And he was angry. And in the passage, though, Nebuchadnezzar seems to like these boys. And so what he does is he offers them a chance to save face. He gives them another chance to bow when the music plays. If you look at verse 15, he's offering them a second chance here in Daniel chapter 3. "Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" And so he offers them a second chance to save their hides. And yet they stood. They determined to stand for God even when they were under the gun. And I'll tell you what, there will be times when the world will try to pin us down on what we believe and see if we really believe it. And it's then that we must stand. We must stand. You might remember several years ago now, Joel Osteen was on the Larry King Live show. And Larry asked him this. He said, "I'm a Jew. Now, are you telling me if I don't accept your Lord, I will die and go to hell?" And Smile and Joel buckled under the pressure. And with a big smile on his face on national television, he said, "Larry, I'd rather not say. I'll let God do the judging." Compromiser is what he is. Well, Larry King did the same thing when he had Dr. Jerry Falwell on that show. He said, "I'm a Jew. Now, are you telling me if I don't accept your Lord, I will die and go to hell?" And Dr. Falwell looked him right in the face and said, "Larry, I'm not telling you that. It is the Word of God that is telling you that." Yay for Dr. Falwell. He stood. He did not compromise. See, the Lord, the lost world is going to put the pressure on us when they know that we believe what this Bible teaches. And we need to stand and not compromise. In 1 Peter 3:15, we read these words, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And with that in mind, I want you to look at the response of these three men in verses 16 through 18. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. That is, we're not worried or afraid to answer you. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." When they are threatened with death, these three young men were saying that wasn't their problem to worry about. Whether they lived or died depended entirely upon the will of the Lord. And the example they set for us is priceless, priceless. These men loved God and could not be intimidated into doing something they knew was evil. May God help us to stand, even when the world and the flesh and the devil all start to intimidate us. As many of you know, probably all of you, but most of you know, before I came to Pasco, I worked on the streets of Boston full-time. My area of ministry was the combat zone, the most dangerous and most wicked area of the city. I ministered to homeless people, pimps, prostitutes, prostitute users, drug addicts, drug dealers, pornographers, and pickpockets. That was my congregation. And the very first time I stood to preach on the combat zone, I got to tell you what happened. I may have shared this with you before, but before I do, let me tell you how this started. Don't jump, But this is how I preach when I preach on the street. Okay, I'm going to give you an example of how I start my message on the street, because I start every message on the street the same way. So don't jump. Good news! Good news! Good news! For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then I rear back and I just preach. Well, the first time I did this in the combat zone, a guy walked up to me in the middle of my preaching who was the biggest, scariest, and meanest looking person I had ever seen in my life. He walked up to me and he pulled out a knife. Looked to me about that long, but I think it was about that long. And he got in my face and he said, "If you don't shut up, I'm going to cut you to pieces." And with all the Holy Ghost courage I could find, because this is just not my nature. This guy's name was Big Red, I came to find out. But I looked right back in his face after he told me, "If you don't shut up, I'm going to cut you in pieces." I looked at him and I said, "You're going to have to threaten me with more than heaven to get me to shut up." And you know what happened? He began to laugh. And he backed up. And Big Red became my friend that day. Never got saved as far as I know. But from that day, I knew I was safe in the combat zone. Big Red ran the combat zone. He ran the combat zone. And I could go down the darkest back alleys where I won't even begin to tell you the wickedness that takes place in back alleys in the combat zone. But I could go down those back alleys and preach to those people with no fear, because everybody knew that if you mess with the preacher, you have to answer to Big Red. And those people were more afraid of Big Red than they were of God. But you know what? That was not my nature to be that way, just not me. But the Holy Spirit of God gave me the boldness to do that. Right? The point is, we have to be different, but we have to be determined. We have to be determined that we're going to stand for God and do what God wants us to do, even if the entire world is against us. Even if they're against us, we have to be faithful to God. And then let me finish up quickly. We talked about how they show us the importance of being different, the importance of being determined. But then finally, they also show us how to be delivered. Let me get my Bible back open to Daniel 3. And look, we're going to read verses 19 through 21. Daniel 3, 19 through 21. "Then was King Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his vision was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." So first of all, we see here that they were delivered. We're talking about being delivered. First, they were delivered to the flames. To the flames. Nebuchadnezzar was so angry at their words that he ordered the furnace heated hotter than it had ever been heated. And he ordered the three men to be bound in the clothes they were wearing. And then he commanded some of his mighty men to throw them into the flames. And the fire was so hot that it killed the soldiers who threw them in. And I need to make something clear here. Just because you are saved and living for Jesus, you have no guarantee that you'll be protected from trouble. Just think about what they did to John the Baptist. Right? Think about what they did to the Lord Jesus. If they treated the greatest of men this way, what should we expect to be treated like? Should we expect to be treated differently? Friends, this isn't a pleasure cruise we signed up for when we got saved. If you are living for Jesus, you will make some enemies as you pass through this world simply because of your stand for the Lord, evidenced by the fact that these guys were delivered to the flames. But the amazing part of this story is what happens next, of course. Not only were they delivered to the flames, they were delivered in the flames. Look at verses 24 and 25. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." And he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Now, we might ask the question, why didn't the Lord just spare them from the fire in the first place? Well, it's because he got more glory allowing them to go through the flames and by sparing them in the flames. Nebuchadnezzar meant to do them in, but God meant to set them free. They walked around in that fire unbound and unburned. And the fact that there was a fourth person in there, the Lord showed up. The Lord showed up. Jesus was in the fire with them. Nebuchadnezzar meant to do them in, but God meant to set them free. And let me tell you this, God may let you go into the fire as you pass through this life. But you can rest on his promise that when you find yourself in the fire, you'll find that Jesus is right there with you. We read in Hebrews 13:5, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He didn't keep them from the fire. He kept them in the fire. You see, what the world and the devil does, they sometimes mean to be used for our destruction. But what they mean for our destruction, God uses for our good and for his glory. That's the great teaching that comes out of Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And so they were delivered to the flames. They were delivered in the flames. And then, of course, they were delivered from the flames. If you look at verses 26 and 27. "Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire." Let me see, how many verses? 27 I was going to read too. "And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was in hair their heads singed." I can't even cook at my barbecue grill without that happening. "And neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them." Nebuchadnezzar called them out of the fire and determined that they had not been burned. As a matter of fact, they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. And here's the point. God may let us go through the fire, but if he does, we'll not go alone. He will go with us. And if he brings us out, or even if we die in that furnace, we are winners either way. I watched a video not too long ago that was recorded in a little convenience store. And it was a Christian man who owned this convenience store when a robber came in to hold him up. And at this store, they don't do it at every store, but at this store, they were recording the conversations that were going on as well as videotaping. And this Christian showed absolutely no fear whatsoever, and it startled the robber who had come in. And so the robber asked him why he wasn't afraid, and basically this is what the man said. He said, "I don't want to die because I have a family to go home to this evening. But if you shoot me, all you're going to do is send me to heaven. So if you don't shoot me, I have it made, and if you do shoot me, I have it made." Amen. What a great attitude to have. But of course, in this case, in Daniel 3, we know that the three boys lived. The three Hebrew boys would not bow to the God of Nebuchadnezzar, and they were delivered from the flames. So delivered to the flames, in the flames, from the flames, and one more, we're done. They were delivered after the flames. Look at verses 28 to 30. "Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And so after Nebuchadnezzar got them out of the fire, he made a proclamation honoring the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and then he even promoted the three Hebrew men in Babylon. And so here's what we learn as Christians. The enemies you make by taking a stand will have more respect for you than the friends you make by straddling the fence. They'll have more respect for you. And so what's my challenge this morning? Take your stand. Take your stand for Jesus and his word. Take your stand for what is right and what is true. Never, ever be ashamed to be identified as a Bible-believing, Bible-practicing Christian. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word of God this morning, and I pray that these things have been a challenge to our hearts, and I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to take and apply them, help us to take and apply them to our lives. Help us to be different than that lost, wicked world around us. Help us to be determined to stand for you and be faithful to you, and we thank you, Lord, that no matter what, we can trust you to deliver us. No matter how that is, we know that you're on our side, you're with us. And no matter what happens to us in this life, because we're trusting Jesus as our Savior, we know we're going to make it safely home. Thank you for that assurance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so, Roger, come, just lead us in one verse. Very familiar song, Stand Up, Stand Up. For